Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hello, Dr. Looper.
Hello, Haley.
So, picking up where we left off, all of these nasty protozoa and parasites are living everywhere and in us and around us, and we were going through the treatment if it's something that it affects us, and we had just gotten to water.
So let's summarize. People get parasites, and it's a drag, and it's horrifying to think of getting a parasite, and yet it happens nonetheless. And you know, it's not because you're dirty, it's not because you are, you know, you're not washing your food correctly. I mean, in a way it is, but eventually these guys are going to come through.
We live on the planet Earth. It's the world that we live in.
Yeah, this happens. And when we travel, the chances of that happening goes up. And the reason is mostly due to the fact that the organisms that live in a particular area are different. They're endemic to that area. And when you get used to the stuff that is in your area, like we live here in Alaska, and so the bugs that live in Alaska, we're used to having those bugs. They come in and they go out. Our body fights them off. We have this, you know, the system that we set up in our bodies to be able to deal with it. And we go to Mexico, or we go to Africa, or we go to Asia, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff that grows in those places. And so our bodies are not used to it. They're novel is the word. That is, our bodies hadn't seen them before. And so the chances of a novel organism getting a hold of you and being able to grow is much better because your immune system hasn't already come up with defenses against it. So the chances of you getting sick if you travel is particularly high just because you're in a new place. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So The organisms that people pick up are pretty treatable with medications, Flagyl being the key one, metronidazole, we talked about that before. But you have to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a drag, and it gets in the way of your vacation, and you get this diarrhea thing, and now you're, you know, having to find a local doctor. It's expensive and scary and weird.
They put you through a battery of so many other tests, many other things,
all of that,
before they get to the actual root cause.
The cost, the time.
Yeah.
This is not, we're all having a fun time now, right? No, not so much. We get to visit the hospital.
Over and over and over.
Now, the thing to do if you're traveling is don't get sick to begin with. That really is the strategy. And over the years, I keep coming up with things to do that keep people from getting sick, and by golly, they work. They work really, really, really well. And the thing that we found to be most effective at not getting traveler's diarrhea is to take Purge the Whirl. This is a bitter combination we were talking about on our last show.
So to preemptively build that into your system,
absolutely,
build the enzymes in your system.
So what the Purge does is it strengthens your digestive system, and it also makes things inhospitable to the protozoans. They don't like it. It's irritating to them, and so they don't set up shop in us. They may come, you may get exposed to them, and they go right through you. They don't linger, they don't cyst up, they don't penetrate the lining of our digestive system, they just go right on through. So let me give you an example. We went to India a couple of years ago for a wedding, and there was 13 people in our party, and everyone who got there early and didn't take any Purge the Whirl because they didn't have it got diarrhea. So 100%. And everyone who, when I got there, I started passing out Purge the Whirl.
Uh-huh.
Everyone who took Purge the Whirl all the way through the trip, none of those people got diarrhea, not a single one. So the success rate was 100%. And a few people stayed late because they really wanted to visit India and go see the Taj Mahal and stuff like that. And they had been there for 2 or 3 weeks, and they thought, hey, I've been here 2 or 3 weeks. I'm good. I don't need to take PERTS
and
anymore.
They stopped.
I got used to it. And so they stopped taking the Pertsboro.
And they got
Every single person who did that got sick.
Oh.
100%.
Oh.
So the pattern was very distinct, which is you take Pertz the World, you don't get sick. Now, that's not the only thing to take. There's another pill that we carry on the shelf called Paragard. We don't use it much because it's not quite as good as the Purge. But it's the advantage is it doesn't taste bitter because it's in a capsule.
Right.
But some of the same herbs is really what it is.
What about Butterbur?
But Butterbur is not as good for that.
Okay.
Okay. So Purge is, though.
Okay.
I mean, excuse me, the Paragard is.
Paragard, right.
And so if people who can't stand the bad taste of the Purge, there's an alternative. They can take Paragard. Now, normal Paragard dose to treat a parasitic infection is 2 caps 3 times a day. And then what I end up putting people on is 1 cap twice a day. That's 1/3 of a dose. And that is perfectly fine for prevention. Works really well. The Purge the World, the normal dose for that one to treat an infection is 1 teaspoon 3 times a day. And the preventative dose is 1 dropperful, that's 1/3 of a teaspoon, twice a day. Notice how low the dose is.
Right.
Doesn't take much.
Is that because you're trying to incite the body's regular response to it?
The thing is, it's easier to prevent than it is to treat.
Okay.
That's the thing.
Okay.
It's easier to prevent than it is to treat. Now, the other thing to consider, and most of the time when shows like this, what you get is a list of things to do and not do when you're in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the effort goes into reducing your exposure. Now, I don't see that as particularly effective, and I didn't do that. I mean, I ate all kinds of stuff. I ate whatever anybody gave me for 2 weeks while I was there and never got sick, and everybody in our party did the same thing. But it's worth taking a few moments to talk about the ways that those parasites could actually get into you and minimizing your exposure to them. And so what they mostly come into is they come in via the water, because these are organisms that live in water. And they can't get dry. If they get dry, they die.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it's going to be is going to be moist. So the number one vector for getting parasites when you're traveling is?
Water.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
Oh.
Turns out, because people know that already, it turns out to be fruits and vegetables.
Oh.
That is the thing. Which is weird, because you think what we'd want you to do is eat lots of fruits and vegetables so that you stay healthy and your digestive system stays strong, because fruits and vegetables really help your digestive system function normally. So the fiber and all mm-hmm. that stuff, right? And it turns out that fresh fruits and vegetables are a problem because the organisms live on them.
Okay.
And so you're getting exposed through fresh fruits and vegetables. Now, if you wash those, soak them in bleach, which the locals don't do, right?
No,
why would
yeah.
they do that? But you could, you know, buy stuff and soak it in bleach, like an apple or something.
Sure.
Or you peel it.
Yep.
Or it comes with a peel, like bananas. Turns out bananas, you take the peel off, that's where the organisms are,
uh-huh.
and you eat the center part and you throw the peel away. Now, of course, since they're on your hand and you put your hand in your mouth and you touch the banana and the right.
It transfers to some extent, right.
So you could put gloves on. And then do you eat your banana with gloves on? There's that.
Or you could just take a little teaspoon 3 times a day.
Yeah, I'd say easier to do the Purge the World. The other thing to consider is ice. Because, you know not to drink the water. You can drink bottled water, right?
Sure.
But then you order a cocktail or something. And it comes with ice. Of course it does. Or a soda, right? Whatever.
Sure.
You get something with ice in it. How did they get that ice? They took water from the tap and made ice cubes.
Mm-hmm.
Or they hook water up to the back of the ice machine and then it makes ice, but it comes from the water.
Right.
And you think the freezing the water would kill the parasites. It does not. They will survive. Now, if they don't like it, some of them will die, but not all of them will die. And so frozen water is not proof against getting...
What about flash freezing? I'm thinking of fish in this instance now.
No.
Okay, so freezing fish doesn't kill the parasites.
No.
So
no.
All the sushi we're eating could potentially have parasites?
Okay, so there's different kind of parasites we're talking about, right? I'm talking about protozoans. Those are tough as can be. The worms don't like being frozen,
okay.
So they get killed.
Okay.
So there's that.
Okay.
Okay. But you're not, people when traveling, when they get diarrhea, they're not getting worms. I guess they could, it's possible, but those are a small minority. The vast majority of people are either picking up protozoans, those are little cells that swim around, or bacterial infections. And that's, you know, I don't know what the percentage is. My guess is 97% of the infections, 98, 99, somewhere around there. Almost all, with the rare exception of coming up from something else. And so that's what we're talking about avoiding. That's how we're talking about preventing. More than, avoiding is helpful. Avoiding is worth having a conversation about. But taking something that prevents those organisms from setting up shop in you, getting settled into you, and then causing trouble. That we want to make sure we do that. And the best thing I've found to use is the Pertusrol, as I mentioned.
Right.
Okay. I'm starting to think, my mind is telling me I missed something on the list of things to avoid. Ah! I remember now. Street food.
Ah!
Street food's excellent. Street food's one of the best things you can eat, but street food is made on the street by people who are doing street stuff.
Sure.
And so, generally speaking, you need to avoid street food. Now, again, if you didn't take the
Pertusrol,
be able to get by with it. I know I was willing to buy street food and did so when I was in India and never got sick.
Because you were being preventative with what you were taking.
Yep.
Because you knew the risk associated.
And I took that risk.
And that reward of that authentic street food was greater than...
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Now, of course, my wife couldn't be with me at the time. Because if she was, she would say, "You want to come home with me? Then you can't eat that."
Right.
There was this sugar cane, fresh squeezed sugar cane that was very refreshing and sweet and lovely. And they had this kind of crushing press that looked like it was built in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had big sticks of sugarcane just piled up, and they would take the sticks and they'd run them through the machine, and then it would drip out this little cup of sugarcane juice at the bottom, and then you, for, you know, 10 cents, whatever, you get a little glass of stuff, and then you shoot it down, and it was lovely. And I was not able to drink that. I always had my wife handy, and she would not let me get any. But that was a perfect example of where you would get sick. Because
okay.
The sugar cane just laying out there. Remember, fruits and
yes,
vegetables.
Yes. All and right. It's sugar cane. It is 100% carbs. That is what they
the
eat.
The organisms like it. And it's cut. Now, it's still alive. The cane's alive, but it's dying on the ends. And so you can pick up organisms. Also, the guys, you know, they're handling it. They're not wearing gloves when they're stacking this stuff up. And the locals get exposed to stuff all the time. Any of them.
But they're used to it. That's what they've lived in. Their bodies have... adjusted.
Yeah. Right. So this is useful information to be able to have. How do you travel and stay healthy? Here's the other thing to consider is staying healthy. If you actually stay healthy, the chances of getting sick goes down. One of the problems with travel is that it's exciting.
And it causes stress.
Yes.
And your immune system is impacted by the stress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about this before. Let me remind our listeners that what happens is when you get excited, maybe it's anxious, but there's this thing where you're in a new place and with new people and it's a new language and you're trying to find your hotel and you're trying to find that restaurant, you find whatever, right? And there's a certain amount of like, we need to do this well, otherwise we're going to, I don't know, get accosted or something. So there's your running worst case scenario.
Yeah, you're in unfamiliar setting.
Just say that, unfamiliar setting. And so what your body does is it releases stress hormones to equip you for action.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll need to run or fight or do something.
Yeah, you're always vigilant. You're always ready for the next.
So it takes blood from your digestive system and pushes it to your heart and your muscles and your brain. So now you can duck and dodge.
Mm-hmm.
You can engage in whatever way and you're
going
to survive.
You can make that connection flight.
And so now your digestive system gets less blood flow. Now, if you do this occasionally, it doesn't really cause much of a problem. But if you do this every day during your trip, as you're trying to make connections and you're trying to find your way from place to place, And now your digestive system is weaker, also you're not sleeping very well. The time zone change has got your internal clock all screwed up. And now you're literally weaker, a weaker version of yourself. You're exhausted 3 days into it, you're exhausted. And now the organisms have an easier time to colonize you based on that. So there's not much you could do about that. That's kind of the uncomfortableness is part of travel. It's part of what makes it exciting. But what you can do is you can include some downtime in your trip, some time for you just to do nothing. Go back to the hotel and just chill. Mm-hmm. Go to poolside and, you know,
actually take a vacation on your vacation.
Yeah, take a vacation on your vacation. And that'll let you settle. We know that. People, experienced travelers do this.
Sure.
They'll schedule time off so that they get a chance to recover,
mm-hmm.
so that they get to enjoy everything else better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you should do. You should do that. And again, it boils down to eat right and exercise and sleep. Get sleep. And then your whole system runs better. Okay?
Okay. And so I guess I want to circle back to water being a treatment for parasites. And can you, like, dilute them out of your system?
No.
Okay.
So, like, just we're going to drink more water?
We drink more water, increase blood flow, and...
No.
Drown them.
Nope, doesn't happen that way.
Oh.
They cling to the walls of our digestive system ever so nicely. So you think diarrhea would get rid of them.
Yeah.
Because now you're just dumping.
Because you're liquid, yeah.
And they just hold on. They're sticky.
Huh.
And that diarrhea doesn't really do much of anything. I mean, it takes down some of the numbers, but as soon as the diarrhea stops, they just repopulate again. Now, you'll need to do some sort of treatment. The best treatment is prevention.
Yes.
Okay, we talked about how to do that. Herbs.
Herbs.
Work really well. Bitter herbs. And we can give a list of these things. This thing called Purge the World, it's got a combination of stuff in it. It's got Oregon grape in it, which is Mahonia.
Tansy.
It's got tansy in it. It's got thyme, the herb thyme.
Mm-hmm.
It's got chaparral in it. It's Artemisia is one of the strongest herbs in it. It's an herb called Artemisia. The common name for Artemisia is called wormwood,
mm-hmm.
which is traditionally used to treat worms.
Right.
And it's got cassia, which is a tree that grows in South America, which is one of the most bitter herbs on the planet. And so it's got all these different kind of combinations of herbs that generate this reaction in your digestive system, and they're just mildly toxic to the organisms themselves. Now, again, this is not the complete list. There's zillions of other herbs do the same kind of thing. Garlic, you'll get some effect. And garlic is it's not complete protection against getting sick. But it is a piece in the overall puzzle of how to create that protection. So if you eat a lot of garlic, the chances you picking up one of these organisms is going to be less because you're going to taste like garlic.
Right.
They're not necessarily digging on that garlic Mm-mm. flavor. Or whatever hot spices, red pepper, black pepper, turmeric, curries, those
chilies.
Kinds of things. Chilies, same thing.
Because
all of those,
the acidicness in the peppers?
It's because they generate a reaction in our digestive system, which stimulates our digestive system to work better.
Okay.
And so we digest our food better.
Okay.
The key is not having any leftovers for the organisms to live on.
So then that makes me think like, oh, fermented foods would be another
Could be.
Treatment.
Yeah. That'd be another thing too. Fermented foods often have products of fermentation in it, which are not conducive to the growth of these organisms. They don't like it.
Okay.
So, you know, vinegary foods. Now, there's a limit to that because we can't drink a glass of vinegar. It's, you know, it's poison. You sprinkle vinegar, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You do too much of it, and it screws with your metabolism.
Right, and it screws with the beneficial bacteria living in your flora.
Yeah. There's lots of detail to this, and I think the best thing for us to do is keep it simple. In fact, let's talk about the time. How much time do we have left?
We have about 10 minutes.
Okay, so let me review. Make sure I didn't miss anything. Yeah, there's some things I missed that I want to go over. When we started, I mentioned that getting these organisms as common as can be. And despite your best efforts, you end up getting sick. Now, nobody in our trip did, But, you know, maybe you can't get perched the whirl, or you're going to give it a go just by avoiding, you know, ice and fresh fruits and vegetables and whatever, and you end up getting sick. So what you'll need to do is you need to find a local doctor, and chances are they'll use metronidazole, which is otherwise known as Flagyl, and it works. It's very effective. Now, Flagyl does have a vacation side effect that's a problem, which is you can get an alcohol reaction. If you do Flagyl and you drink alcohol at the same time, it can make you sick as a dog.
Oh.
So you have to avoid alcohol while you're on metronidazole.
Which is hard for most people.
While you're on vacation.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, right? But there's something that's important to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
pick which violently ill you'd like to be.
Also, Flagyl has a weird side effect. When you get it in your system, it tastes like metal. So there's that. So, yeah, it just does.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. You get a metallic taste in your mouth. It's better than having diarrhea.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's not like the best thing ever.
No.
Okay, so, yeah, there's that as well. Let me go back into the diet thing. We talked about avoiding processed foods and fresh fruits and vegetables if you're traveling.
Processed foods because of the nature of the digestion of them?
Yeah, let's talk about this. Because now digest. I just tell you, you can't eat fresh food and you can't eat processed food. Now what are you going to eat?
What are we going to eat?
Nothing. The main thing to think of is not what you can eat and can't eat. Is that whatever you do eat, you need to digest completely.
Okay.
So no leftovers. So you chew it up and you eat it, and then your body breaks it down and absorbs it all. By the time it gets your lower intestine, because that's where these guys live, if there's nothing for them to live on, all that's left over is this fiber residue, because we don't have the enzymes to break it down, then there's no problem. There's nothing for them to eat. And so they just pass on through. So if you can eat small meals and you can chew your food well, and you choose food that's easy to digest, then you're going to be much better off. Now, when you're traveling, part of the joy of traveling is you go to a restaurant and there's
you can try all these foods. And what I'm thinking and what comes to mind more recently, I have a friend who's visiting Italy right now, and she is indulging in all the pasta. And Italian pasta is far different than American-made pasta.
It's more digestible.
It's more digestible. But it's still carbs.
Yeah, and carbs are what's going to feed these guys more than anything.
Right. And so, same.
More than anything. The worst thing you can eat would be carbs.
If you go to Mexico, so many carbs.
That's right. Or India. Or anywhere.
Yeah. I mean,
people love carbs.
Yeah.
People live on carbs.
Right. China, rice, carbs.
Yeah, in India it was the same thing. It was rice. It was also breads, naan.
Naan.
And just about everything had carbs in it. It was carbs, carbs, and carbs. Particularly a lot of foods were vegetarian, so they're really built around carbs.
Right.
Protein was on the low side, carbs were on the high
yes.
side. So the main thing to do was to eat small amounts. Also, it was highly seasoned. And part of the reason why it's highly seasoned is because it makes it so where you don't get sick from organisms if you get exposed. They
yeah.
don't like the highly seasoned food.
Yeah, and it preserves the food.
It does. So the organisms don't live in the food, and they don't live in you when you eat the food.
Does it make it harder to digest?
No, it makes it easier to
okay.
digest. So herbs generally cause a reaction. Our body reacts to them. Our body has this, they're irritating. Let me just say that. They're irritating. And so our body has this irritation reaction. The irritation reaction stimulates digestion and makes it work better. If you have to be real careful with some herbs, because if you get the oils, the concentrated oil, like oregano oil or thyme oil.
Garlic oil.
Or those kinds of oils, the active constituents are concentrated to the point where they are painful. I remember doing trying mint oil. And mint is a lovely herb. It's, you know,
yeah,
cooling
it's
and
very
mild.
Helpful for digestion.
Yeah, I did a mistakenly. I didn't realize I was taking mint oil. I thought I was taking mint tincture. Because we try everything out there.
Uh-huh.
And I did a little teaspoon, not the whole thing, but a little bit.
Oh.
And ended up
having the worst cramps.
I ended up, you know, suffering. Let me just say that. I cried a lot.
Oh. So we want to be...
So these herbs can be too strong, and then they can create a reaction. Because what we want to do is get enough herbs in our system to where it generates a reaction, but not an overwhelming reaction. And so strong herb food tends to be better.
Does our body build a resistance to these herbs if we are overdoing them?
Not really. That's a good question. You gotta think of what herbs are. Let's back it up and say organisms get resistance to stuff all the time. Metronidazole, for example, or penicillin. Penicillin's classic. Penicillin was just like an amazingly effective antibiotic when it first came out, and now it's weak, and most bugs have a workaround with
or
it.
Or people have developed an allergy to it.
So what it is, it's one thing. Now, when you take an herb, you're not taking one thing. You're taking 100 things.
Because of all the molecular structure and compound within that herb.
That's right. Because that herb is a plant, was at one point, and so it grew lots of different things. And they work together. And so now it's much harder for the organisms to develop a resistance to 50 things than it is to one thing. Because if it develops a resistance to one of them, there's still the other 49.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's how herbs work. So in herbs have a resilience beyond other antibiotics. Now, they tend not to be as strong as the other antibiotics, or you can't get the strength because the plant is trying to be parsimonious on how it makes these things. And it doesn't want to have all of its energy going into the production of something to fight an infection. It would rather just prevent the infection. So herbs in general kind of doing what we're doing, which is they prevent the infection from getting in, but not so much that the plant just becomes a factory for doing that alone. It's got other things to do. It's got to make flowers. It's got to make fruit. It's got to make leaves. It's got to make roots. It's got to make stems. It's got to do all this other stuff. So it's going to portion its energy appropriately. Some of that energy is going to be into the creation of these toxic chemicals that keep the bugs from eating it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the bugs are, whether the amoebas or insects or bacteria or fungus, whatever they are. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you get this mild effect, and yet it's a resilient effect. So if you can utilize that, or when we can, by eating these things, by taking them, then you prevent getting infected. That's the take-home message. That's the thing I'm trying to tell you. If you go on a website or you talk to somebody else, the conversation's almost only about don't drink the local water.
Right. Water. Put your water through a filter.
Yeah. It's all about avoiding getting exposure. And you know, it's worth mentioning that. But the chance of you being successful if you're traveling for a long time is zero. I mean, maybe not zero, but low. Very low. Like, remember what I told you, the people who didn't take Birds of the World on the trip, every single person got sick.
Uh-huh.
And they were not getting ice cubes. They were not eating fresh fruits and vegetables. They were not eating street food.
They were just breathing.
All the normal precautions.
Right.
Everything they could possibly do. Because we were all in tune to this thing. We did not want to get deli belly.
Didn't want to ruin your wonderful trip to India.
Yeah, and everyone did.
Ugh.
Who didn't take Birds of the World. 100%, without exception. Everyone did. And they were taking precautions. So, yeah, this is, okay, it's worth talking about, but it's not going to be effective in and of itself. So if it turns out that you do get it, you got to treat it. You can't just think, well, it'll get better on its own, because it won't. Because a lot of times these are novel organisms that we don't have immunity to.
And then what does the overgrowth look like?
You get diarrhea.
Worse and worse and worse?
No, it just persists.
Okay.
You come home with diarrhea.
Okay.
You show up in our practice
with vomiting?
Diarrhea. Maybe, if it's bad enough. Normally, it's not vomiting. Vomiting is a rare symptom. Normally, it's diarrhea is what shows up. That's the thing. Your body's trying to get rid of whatever it is. Everyone who got sick got diarrhea.
Yeah.
And then the lucky ones had, oh, yeah, I remember I had that Birds of the World, and they started taking it. The problem is that the dosage to get rid of the infection is triple or even quadruple what the dosage was to prevent the infection. Okay, so, you know, mostly what they would do is call me.
Yeah.
And say, I'm sorry, I took that thing, and then it worked, and then I didn't take it, and then I got sick again. I said, you still have it? Yeah, I still have some left in the bottle. Great. Then here's what you do. You take it a teaspoon three times a day. And chances are your diarrhea will be gone in about a day and a half. And it was.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, okay. It's not enough of a treatment to keep you from getting sick again. You have to go back on the low dose. And the other thing is, once you get these infections and you take something, whatever it is, Percival or Flagyl, whatever it is, it'll eradicate the normal organisms. But the organisms can sense this doom is happening. So they go into their resistant phase, their cyst phase. They cyst up and they bury themselves in the wall of your digestive system. And then they just wait out whatever the nastiness that goes through. And at some point in the next, you know, few days or weeks or months, they pop back out again. Mostly it's days and weeks and not months. It's
right.
possible.
Right.
Mostly what they'll do is they'll eventually try to pop out earlier than later. And then take over again. And now you came home with the thing, took the Flagyl, you're better. And then 3 weeks later, you got it again. Or a month later, you got it again. And that's classic. We see that all the time. That's a normal thing, is for you to get it again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's important for you to do things to keep the infection at bay in the weeks after getting the exposure to it, getting treatment to it.
Understood. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I think that is all we have time for today, Dr. Looper.
Okay, Haley. Very good. Thank you.
Of course. Next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.